मैंने खिड़की से देखा मुझे कि पुलिस ने मुझे पैलेट मारा।
They have to fire this, and I think there's nothing wrong in it.
ये जो इस वक्त सड़कों पे उतर आए हैं, ये पैदा हुए हैं इसी कॉन्फ्लिक्ट में।
इनके बारे में ज्यादा बताया जाता है, हमारे बारे में नहीं बताया जाता है।
पुलिस वालों को शक की नजर से देखते हैं, क्योंकि हालात जो खराब है, पुलिस को ही फेस करना पड़ता है हर जगह। वो गालियां भी देते हैं, हम सहते हैं।
पैलेट इज मोर डेंजरस बिकॉज यू लूज विजन।
To use force like this, I think it is extremely unfortunate.
बहुत मुश्किल है जेएनके में, तो हमारे लिए बहुत मुश्किल है कंट्रोल करना।
95% लोग पीसफुल तरीके से इसका रेजोल्यूशन चाहते हैं।
मैं जा रहा हूँ सबसे मिलने।
कोई बातचीत करने के लिए गया है, उन्होंने बातचीत नहीं की, सचमुच यह कश्मीरियत तो नहीं, और इसे इंसानियत भी नहीं मारा जा सकता।
With due respect to our separatists, if they can't strike a deal with them, with him, we'll stop wasting the time of the people.
You know, from this, nobody is going to get away unhurt.
From afar, it looks like a baby's makeshift swing made from cloth and slung across two branches. Perhaps a child sleeping under the gentle shadow of a protective tree. Look again. Not barks, branches and leaves, but grenades, automatic rifles and cartridges. The birth of an entire generation of children, literally in the shadow of the gun. For 2 months, acclaimed artist Masood Hussain has been busy at work, homebound because of the unsparing curfew, depressed and angry because of the unrest, turmoil and violence out on the streets. At the age of 63, Masood has been a chronicler of some of the worst years in the valley. The story goes that once asked to paint happy faces for a Jammu and Kashmir government calendar, Masood returned the 30,000 rupees he was given because he could not find any happy faces to visualize. So brutalized had his imagination become by relentless exposure to coffins and conflict. But as militancy gradually reduced and things appeared to get better, Masood thought his canvas may finally get a chance to cheer up. His art popped up on street walks and under the pillars of newly constructed flyovers like this one, brightening up the now bustling city of Srinagar. Just before the current crisis struck and pushed the valley into complete lockdown, he had been working on a project to highlight the old Sufi traditions of Kashmir. Now the only work he can bring himself to create is that which captures the trauma of violence, like this one of a melancholic Mahatma Gandhi, the contours of his indented face traced by the tiny, pelleted, pockmarked hands of a child who seems to be decoding a braille script. A powerful digital metaphor for the real-life hospital images of Kashmiri protesters, several of whom have been partially or permanently blinded by the metallic pellets of controversial pump-action guns that throw a fountain of iron balls into the air with every shot fired. The current phase of the Kashmir unrest has also given rise to an entire genre of what Kashmiris like to call protest art. Like anywhere else in the world, conflict zones do make art an extremely political concept. And so we have been seeing through this month, whether it's digital art or redoing old posters or brand new imagery, the image and the fight over the image and what the image communicates has now become a deeply, deeply political concept.
मैं ये कॉन्फ्लिक्ट पेंट करना नहीं चाहता था और जैसे कि मैं पहले काफी लैंडस्केप्स किया करता था काफी फ्लावर्स वगैरह सब्जेक्ट ही डिफरेंट था. अब ये कॉन्फ्लिक्ट जब यहाँ शुरू हुआ सो आई वाज फोर्स टू डू इट क्योंकि मैं जो कुछ अपने इर्द गिर्द देखा तो वही मैं पेंट किया. इस बार एक डेढ़ महीना पहले मैंने कुछ और एक टॉपिक पे शुरू किया था पेंटिंग्स और उसमें मैं कुछ और डिफरेंट पोर्ट्रे करना चाहता था जैसे कि यहाँ का जो हमारा कल्चर था हमारी हिस्ट्री और वगैरह जो हमारा यहाँ एक और रिचनेस अबाउट लिटरेचर मिस्टिसिज्म पे कुछ करना चाहता था. मगर कुछ दिन पहले मैं हॉस्पिटल गया तो वहाँ पे मैंने जो हाल देखा तो मेरे से बर्दाश्त नहीं हुआ. स्पेशली छोटे छोटे बच्चों का जिसकी मतलब आंखें चली गई हैं किसी की एक आंख चली गई है बहुत सारे जख्मी पड़े हैं. मेरा आर्ट मेरा प्रोटेस्ट है और ये बिल्कुल मैं नहीं चाहता हूं कि ऐसा होना चाहिए. जो कुछ हो रहा है बहुत ही बुरा हो रहा है.
In an insurgency that has now entered its 27th year, conflict has scripted and interrupted childhood for many. Unlike the rest of the country, in Kashmir, summer is not the season for playful vacations and for children to spend evenings out at the mall or at the cinema. Summer, instead, is the annual harbinger of trouble. Usually a season of protests and curfews, a month of rage on a calendar where unrest comes as unfailingly as the changing colors of the chinar leaves. Conflict and violence have corroded innocence, hardening even young teenagers into a state of perennial rage. Those out on the street are often not even grown men. They are teenagers, many as young as 14 or 15 or 16. Boys who would be men, punching the air with stones, casting themselves in the self-image of the Palestinian Intifada. Children have come to be at the heart of the Kashmir debate, and that is the real crisis. Some, like Insha, all of 14 and now permanently blinded, have come to be victims even without participating in the protests. She was standing at the window of her house looking out at the clashes between security forces and protesters when pellets from a pump-action gun not intended for her tore through her eyes and even her head, transforming her life from this to this.
मैं पढ़ रही थी. मैंने खिड़की खोला और मैंने खिड़की से नज़र मारा. वहाँ पत्थरबाजी चल रही लोगों और पुलिस के दरमियान. मैंने खिड़की से देखा मुझे कि पुलिस ने मुझे पैलेट मारा.
मोर देन अ मंथ लेटर डॉक्टर्स एट दिल्लीज ऑल इंडिया मेडिकल इंस्टीट्यूट हैव ट्राइड एवरीथिंग बट इंशा कैन स्टिल सी नथिंग. Her father, Mushtaq Lone, says all her questions are about when she might be able to read her school books again.
Uski handwriting bhi achhi thi. Uski padhai bhi bahut achhi thi. Insha bol rahe hai bhi mujhe kya ho gaya ye mere aankhon mein kya main theek ho sakta hu ya nahi ho sakta main usko kuch nahi bata sakte. Usme bahut shauk tha padhne ka bahut shauk tha uska. Wo bol raha hai pehle main doctor banunga main koi afsar banunga main koi engineer banunga main kuch bhi ban sakta hu magar मैं पढ़ाई नहीं छोड़ सकता हूँ. आप बोल रहा है मैं क्या करूँगा मैं कैसे पढ़ूंगा मेरे आंखें चले गई, मैं क्या करूंगा, मैं कैसे पढ़ूं, मैं क्या कर सकता हूं, आप उसी हालत में हूं।
Insha was not a protester, but there are many others, mostly between the ages of 16 and 18, school students who make up the mass of the street agitation. In hospital, we meet boys like Aleem and Bilal, both students at school, their eyes framed by bandages, once again injured and partially blinded by pellet guns. Both were part of processions in support of slain Hizbul Mujahideen militant Burhan Wani.
Itni choti umar ke aap hain, 18 saal ke, puri zindagi aage hai na?
Aur kya?
Kya sapna aapne dekha hai? Kya kya karna chahte hain? Kya sapna aap? Pehle kya kaam karte the? Aapka kya kya sapna hai?
कुछ
एक सपना तो होगा कि बड़े होके या नहीं
था, मगर अब नहीं
था, मगर अब नहीं है। क्यों?
जब आंखें चली गई तो
अब लगता है कि जो करना चाहते हैं जिंदगी में वो नहीं कर पाएंगे, लेकिन फिर भी उम्मीद तो हम करेंगे कि वापस इसमें विजन है।
क्या पता है?
Police and paramilitary forces argue that children, teenagers, boys who are not yet 18 are being used as shields in more protests, more violent than ever before, using not just stones but sometimes petrol bombs, undeterred by tear gas shells and unafraid of consequences. Their presence at the front line of the ferocious demonstrations has exposed a deep political fault line in the argument that the valley's politicians are having among themselves. The Chief Minister has called upon parents to take responsibility for keeping their children away from marches and demonstrations.
Agar bahar ka militant aaye, uske saath encounter ho, magar meri koshish hai ki hamare bacche bandook na uthaye, jinhone uthayi hai wo chhod de, mujhe waqt de, मेरी सरकार को वक्त दे। मैंने उसके खिलाफ लड़ा है कि यहाँ के लोगों को शील्ड मत बनाओ, मगर आज मुझे अफसोस है, जो लोग जम्मू कश्मीर का अमन बिगाड़ना चाहते हैं, जिनका सिर्फ मकसद एक है कि जम्मू कश्मीर आग की भट्टी में जलता रहे, उन्होंने इन बच्चों को अपने नाजायज मकासिद के लिए वही शील्ड बनाया।
The opposition says it's just not that simple.
Of course, what are children doing out in that conflict? But then they're angry and they're not within the control of their parents.
Teenagers, little kids.
Look, it's genuine anger. They're not there for fun. Do you know anybody who's willing to take a blast from a pellet gun out of a thrill? They're doing it because there's genuine anger. Burhan Wani was the trigger, but there are other reasons behind it. And these 15-year-olds, 14-year-olds, aren't agitating because they want a job. They're agitating because something else has made them really angry, and that anger we're refusing to acknowledge. See, therein again lies the problem with Mehbooba Mufti's handling. And I'm sorry to say this, I mean, the anger that the children feel is also the anger in the parents. Has it occurred to Mehbooba that maybe the parents don't want to stop the children? Has it occurred to Mehbooba that maybe the parents actually feel an active part of this?
The fury of Kashmir's millennials and even younger may be traced back to the images that have shaped their consciousness and their growing years. Captured most poignantly by Masood Hussain in this illustration of a school bag heaped not with books but with stones. The children of conflict who have only seen one sort of headlines in the newspapers they have read.
ये जो इस वक्त सड़कों पे उतर आए हैं, ये पैदा हुए हैं इसी कॉन्फ्लिक्ट में, और इन्होंने ब्लडशेड और इस कॉन्फ्लिक्ट के अलावा कुछ देखा नहीं है, और नेचुरली तो ये तो बिल्कुल निडर एक रेस यहाँ आ गई है, जो पैदा हुई है, जो किसी चीज़ से डरती नहीं है, और इनको इसीलिए वो उनको ये पता है हम लड़ रहे हैं, मौत के मुंह में जा रहे हैं, तो इनका कोई वो मरने का कोई खौफ नहीं है।
It has taken 51 days, the longest continuous curfew and lockdown in the Kashmir Valley, before the stirrings of life have returned to the city of Srinagar. Till now, the valley was like a comatose patient breathing on a ventilator. When signs of life would return to the body politic, they would invariably be like seizures and convulsions of violence, frequent clashes between protesters armed with stones and security forces assigned to contain them. Clashes and then firing that would push up the death count and reaffirm the need for an even stricter curfew, thus sending the valley back into the relapse of a catatonic stillness. Even today, as the city limps back slowly into life, it is outside its perimeters in the rural hinterland, especially in South Kashmir, where like a festering wound, turmoil continues to foment with the daily ritual of processions and protesters. It is these areas that have spawned an entire new generation of local militants with myth-like following among radicalized young men of the valley. These warnings were sounded much earlier by the Jammu and Kashmir police in 2015, when a census by them revealed that for the first time in 10 years, local militants had outnumbered foreign terrorists. Of the 142 militants estimated to be operational, 88 were local, police said, making that about 62% of the total. The census went on to say, new trend reveals that terrorist cadres have influenced impressionable young minds. The elimination of Burhan Wani and the public response to the valley unrest since then has still not addressed the key new pattern, the pattern that Wani represented, the fact of young, local, educated boys picking up the gun. For example, the so-called successor to Burhan Wani is also somebody who comes from an educated family. His father is a civil engineer in the government, his brother a doctor, his sister a master's of science in biology. And he himself was sent by his family to study engineering in Chandigarh in the hope that he would be far away from the trouble of the Kashmir Valley. Of course, exactly the opposite happened. Just a few days before Burhan Wani was killed by security forces, we had headed out to the epicenter of this new militancy to try and analyze the fundamental question. Why were school toppers in this region joining terror groups like the Hizbul Mujahideen? As the road zigzagged its way through sparsely populated villages and past open paddy fields, the Kashmiri willow trees formed a virtual green tunnel. And we could see why the Thral Tehsil in Pulwama could be the perfect hiding place for militants on the run. Interestingly, the town of Thral has among the highest literacy rates in the entire state. Whether in the bazaars or the interior villages, you can see young women making their way to college and mothers sending their sons off to school. English medium education is everyone's aspiration. Yet, not just Burhan Wani, but another school topper of Thral, Ishaq Pare, came to be the key face here of militant violence. At his modest village home, his brother showed us his bookshelf, untouched from the day he left home at the age of 19 to pick up the gun. Books on chemistry, physics, a couple of photographs and a note with his handwritten scroll. Because he topped every exam since he was in nursery, Ishaq morphed into Isaac and Pare into Newton after the genius scientist. His father, Muhammad Ismail Pare, a former government employee and now an imam at the village mosque, still keeps Newton's mark sheets and report cards. His son was killed in an encounter with security forces earlier this year. Ironically, Pare's daughter, Newton's sister, is married to a police officer. Newton was the youngest in a family of five. His elder brother has a master's degree but no work. Unemployment among the young is a major issue. 60% of the valley is estimated to be below the age of 30, and there's virtually nothing to engage young men or women. That, however, Newton's father still argues, cannot explain why his son became a militant.
बेरोजगारी का मसला तो जरूर है. इसमें कौन कहेगा, कौन नहीं चाहेगा? मेरे बेटे ने एमए किया है तो ये थोड़ा ऐसे सजता है बेरोजगार बैठ के. बेरोजगारी का वजह तो है, यहाँ है बेरोजगारी, लेकिन मिलिटेंसी के, जहां तक मेरा जहन समझ चुका है, मिलिटेंसी का वजह बेरोजगारी नहीं. क्योंकि जो लोग मिलिटेंसी में जा रहे हैं वो अभी छोटे हैं. मैं अपने बेटे की बात बताता हूँ, वो अभी पढ़ता ही था, तो बेरोजगारी का मसला उसके पास क्या हुआ था. अगर वो चाहता वो MA MPhil जो कुछ करता, मैं उसको कराता, उसके पास बेरोजगारी या पैसा का मसला कहाँ था.
An hour's drive away in the village of Noorpura, we met Abdul Rashid Bhatt, a civil engineer working in the government's irrigation department. At the time, we had no idea that his son Zakir Bhatt would come to replace Burhan Wani in the Hizbul Mujahideen hierarchy. An announcement made through an online video, once again underlining the chilling reality of this new phase of militancy, where like Wani, Zakir too has used social media as a weapon of war. Like the other families we met in South Kashmir, Zakir Bhatt's family was highly educated and economically well off. In fact, theirs was the biggest house on the street, with a private clinic for his other son, a doctor, built in the cavernous basement. Zakir first ran into trouble during the unrest of 2010, when a case was booked against him for pelting stones at security forces. He was only 15 then, like many of the defiant teenagers out on the streets today. Abdul Rashid, his father, thought that by sending him away to become an engineer in Chandigarh, Zakir would escape the conflict and the trouble. Just the opposite happened. Though Zakir Bhatt came back twice to meet his family since he joined the Hizbul Mujahideen in 2013, his father told us he would not ask him to surrender.
Sham ko ek din aaya nahi, to hum pareshan ho gaye, pata nahi ki maine socha ki chalo doston ke sath gaya hoga. तो फिर मैं बाहर निकला तो यहाँ पर एक स्लिप पड़ता
जहाँ बैठे हैं, बस बिल्कुल वहीं
बिल्कुल एक फटा अच्छा, हुआ स्लिप था.
अच्छा, फिर
कि डैडी मुझे ढूंढने की कोशिश मत करना, आपको मेरे से काफी तकलीफें हो गई, तो मैं आपको और तकलीफें नहीं देना चाहता हूँ.
बस इतना तो, बोला
नहीं, उसमें लिखा था, वो मुझे कहाँ मिला, वो
क्या पता.
उसमें लिखा था कि
उसमें लिखा था कि आप मुझे ढूंढने
की कोशिश मत करना.
और क्या लिखा?
मैंने जो सबसे अच्छा रास्ता है, मैंने अब उसी रास्ते पे चलने का फैसला किया है, आप मुझे कहीं ढूंढना नहीं.
अब ये 2013 की बात है
जी.
उस दिन से, जिस दिन आपने यहाँ पे जहाँ बैठे हैं आपने वो लेटर पाया, कोई कांटेक्ट हुआ?
नहीं नहीं, आया दो बार,
आया
तीन बार आया टोटल.
उसके
बाद
आया,
लेकिन एक चीज, तीन बार टोटल.
आपने कोशिश नहीं की कि इसको रोक
दूं? उस वक्त मैं परे इतना नॉन प्लस हो गया, वैसे बाप के आप देख सकते, मतलब फील कर सकते हैं कि क्या हुआ होगा. तो मैं बोल भी नहीं पाया पूरा उसको, कि मतलब या उसको समझाना पाया, क्योंकि उनके साथ तो इतने बंदे थे, उनको मतलब उन्होंने उसको अलग से मेरे साथ बात करने भी नहीं दिया.
वेपन्स वगैरह सब
वेपन सब के पास था.
अगर आपको मौका मिले कि आप अपने बच्चे से फोन पे बात कर पाए, क्या आप उसको बोलेंगे बंदूक छोड़ के घर वापस आए? नहीं बोलेंगे.
यस, क्योंकि उसमें जब मैंने उसको अपने से अलग किया है, मेरी इतनी बड़ी फैमिली है, मेरी कुछ और रिस्पॉन्सिबिलिटीज है, वो अपने रस्ते पे चला गया, मुझे अपने रस्ते पे चलना.
Later in Srinagar, at the city's bone and joint hospital, we met Dr. Shakir Rashid, Zakir's elder brother. Like doctors across the city, he'd spent days and nights tending to the injured and wounded as violence erupted in the valley after the elimination of Burhan Wani. We thought with Wani dead, as an elder brother, he would now be anxious about whether Zakir could be the next one to be killed. But he showed no such signs.
The sad story is without you. The thing is, they had the stone in their hand. That was the way of protest. And now, if you are not giving them the option of even protesting with the stone, what are the option with the youth? And the thing is, I don't personally, and I mean, as a family also, I will speak on the behalf of family also. There is no shame that he picked up the gun. I mean, there is no way. You can see the frustration in the people.
This is the chilling new reality of the Kashmir Valley. The absolute lack of remorse or even fear. The eerie matter-of-factness among its radicalized and angry young men, and an open endorsement, not just of stones, but even of the gun.
Agitation can be tired out, but the long-term consequences to that are are really scary, because already you have youngsters who are all set to pick up the gun. I mean, I know of youngsters who are lying in hospital injured, who are just saying, look, let me get out of here. If I can lay my hands on a weapon, I'm becoming a terrorist.
Yeah.
You know, you had a situation a few years ago where there was a glut of weapons. There weren't enough people to pick them up. Mm-hmm. Today, the reverse is true. Today, there is a glut of youngsters who are ready to become militants. The only thing they lack is weapons.
Formerly a secessionist and presently a minister in the Jammu and Kashmir government, Sajjad Lone argues that the agitation represents no more than 5% of the valley's population. He says many of the boys are from families that live below the poverty line.
Everybody is not on roads. Still today, 95% people are indoors.
You're saying this is not a mass protest?
You know, the definition of a mass protest is relative and varies from numbers, you know, from place to place. But there are huge chunks, 95% is still indoors, who want their children to go to school. If you look at the pattern of deaths, the families, we did a small survey, which by no means is official. 98%, apart from one, belong to BPL families, below poverty line families.
His claim, refuted by the opposition, has been echoed by Mehbooba Mufti, but with a nuance. She says only 5% of the valley's population supports the use of stones as an expression of anger, while the remaining 95 want a peaceful resolution. Notwithstanding the debate over numbers, many things distinguish this phase of strife from previous phases of turbulence. While earlier eruptions of violence were typically against the backdrop of a campaign for justice, a fake encounter in 2010, for example, this time what spilt over onto the streets has effectively been the directionless wrath and seething anger of the youth. It's also for the first time since the 90s that armed terrorists have been seen openly addressing rallies in the rural hinterland. And at more than one funeral procession, Pakistani flags and pro-Pakistani slogans have surfaced. In the many ironies of Kashmir's tormented history, Sajjad Lone's wife, Asma, herself the daughter of a Kashmiri separatist and now a Pakistani citizen, campaigned with Sajjad during the 2014 elections. We ask him how he reads the role of Pakistan in fueling the fire.
Nothing is spontaneous in Kashmir.
Nothing is spontaneous?
Yeah, nothing
is spontaneous. So you're saying these protests are not spontaneous?
Nothing is spontaneous in Kashmir. And I can talk for the last 2.5 decades since this has started. Pakistan has always been a party in whatever is happening here. But one thing is clear, that their terrorist cannot be our hero. If terrorism is bad there, it's bad here. It's like a terrorist, for example, being pursued by the Pakistani security forces. He's running, they're running after him. And if he crosses the border, now he's a mujahid. It can't happen. You can't be so selective.
As mosques in the hinterland and some even in Srinagar city belt out secessionist slogans, in Delhi there is disquiet and confusion on how to respond to this new generation of rage and what the government argues is its distinct, if subterranean, religious radicalism. At the all-party meeting chaired by the Prime Minister, one cabinet minister told the Prime Minister, there is no space left anymore for the autonomous or the humanists, referring to those who see a solution in greater freedom within the constitution. The insurgency, this minister argued, is now in the hands of Islamists.
You can see radical elements coming into Kashmir now. You can see what is happening in the areas of prayers. You can see the youth getting motivated by seeing a militant in military fatigues with weapons. You can see the Islamization. You can see the charisma that is being created by ISIS. All of it has changed from 2010.
That the agitation is now more religious than political is a charge rejected by mainstream politicians and separatists alike. They say the label of Islamism is a way to discredit them.
The whole talk about radicalization and so on, to me, is a presumption which suits those quarters who want to link our movement to the so-called global radical Islamic resurgence and so on, and to create panic and fear among Indians and internationally as well about the nature of the movement in Jammu and Kashmir and its objectives. I mean, let us be very clear that you know, Kashmir dispute is purely political in nature. I mean, since Muslims constitute the majority of the population, it does not mean that it is an Islamic movement.
The state government has appealed several times to separatists in the Hurriyat Conference, a conglomerate of pro-Azadi representatives, to help de-escalate the situation. But the truth is that even these separatists may no longer have control of the street. This may well have become an agitation which is both faceless and leaderless, with no one at the steering wheel. Privately, many Kashmiris concede that there is a generational shift, culturally and ideologically. Till the Kashmiri Pandits were forced into exile more than 25 years ago, an older generation of Kashmiris knew a life where Hindus and Muslims lived together as neighbors and friends. This generation has not been cut and shaped by this old-style, heterogeneous social fabric. And then, of course, these young men are also the product of the internet age. We're following a global pattern. Online traffic gives religious radicalism an easy ride. Add to that having grown up in an environment of constant tension, and you have inelastic minds shaped also by a siege mentality. From his hospital bed, Bilal, the young injured 16-year-old protester, whispers to us that one of the reasons he went out marching in support of Burhan Wani is because Wani is a defender of his faith.
आप लोगों को बुरहान क्यों पसंद था?
ताकि वो हमारे मजहब के लिए लड़ रहे थे.
मजहब के लिए?
हाँ, इस्लाम के लिए.
इस्लाम के लिए लड़ रहे थे कि कश्मीर के लिए लड़ रहे थे?
इस्लाम के लिए,
कश्मीर के लिए.
कश्मीर के लिए भी, इस्लाम के लिए, क्योंकि उसके दिल में है ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह मुहम्मद रसूलुल्लाह.
Kashmiri separatists admit that questions of Muslim identity matter in the valley more than ever before, but argue that this is in response to perceptions of a wider polarization in the rest of India.
The radicalization, what you talk about, the radicalization in Kashmir is proportionate to the communalization of politics in India. It is proportionate to that. If people are here hardening positions, it will go as what BJP government has done over these years. Their communalism, they masquerade under nationalism, because nationalism, this is an acceptable term. Here, Kashmiris have actually are responding to that. It is not as things are happening here now on its own. Now, have you forgotten about this beef policy? Have you forgotten about cows? All these things have a reaction here. If they talk today Muslim identity openly, it is because now, say, there is a total onslaught on Muslim identity in India.
One of the most frightening images to have emerged from this period of turmoil is this one. Children posing as militants with guns. What would be an outlandish fancy dress elsewhere could be plausible reality in Kashmir if the drift is not arrested soon. But how did we get to this point? Anyone who knows Kashmir will tell you that deep denialism has plagued successive governments in Delhi, who only wake up to the valley as a national issue when it's in a crisis. In the spaces between the headlines, warnings of growing radicalism and alienation have been disregarded, and vacuums have been allowed to grow bigger and bigger. Though the media headlines are dominated by pictures of clashes between protesters and men in uniform, that is not where the fault lines lie. It is our collective imagination as Indians that may have let Kashmir down. The Kashmir unrest appears to have locked the security forces into confrontation with the civilian population. But here on the ground, people will tell you that is not the problem at all. The problem really is about the failure of politics.
In fact, army and police officers speaking to you off camera will point out how the military has more than done its job. And indeed, both infiltration and militancy are significantly down. It is this post-militancy vacuum that should have been filled with political engagement. In so many ways, the Kashmir crisis is really about the failure of imagination. It's telling that the wisest words through the unrest came from the Northern Army commander, the senior most officer in the state. The army has consistently opposed being used for managing the protesting crowds, and most of the conflagrations on the street have been left to the police and the paramilitary men to contain. But when 2 days of stone pelting in an area called Kru in South Kashmir was followed by raids in which soldiers beat a college lecturer to death and thrashed several others, the general not just took ownership of behavior he said was unacceptable, he admitted to anger on both sides, a consequence of prolonged conflict.
Yeah, we're more than 40 days into this whole cycle of conflict and violence, and from this, nobody is going to get away unhurt. Everybody is hurting, whether it is the child who can't go to school, whether it is a young person who's lying in the hospital, government employees, traders, government officials, even the police, other security forces who are facing this, stone throwing, violent mobs.
He was also the first to call for dialogue, well before politicians could be shaken out of their stupor.
My appeal is to everyone for calm. I think we all have to sit down, put our heads together and see if we can find an end to this. I know it's not easy, the situation is difficult, but I think there is nothing else which is the need of the hour. So everybody who's in any way involved in JNK, I think needs to introspect and see what we can do to stop it.
It would, however, be nearly 2 months after the eruption of violence before an all-party delegation would travel to the Kashmir Valley and also to Jammu. But by then, it may have already been left too late. The parliamentarians were meant to convey a united message of concern and empathy, but their visit also revealed the clear absence of national consensus on Kashmir. There is agreement between Indian politicians on just one aspect. Azadi, secession, the redrawing of borders, no government will ever negotiate on that. But if you set that as the boundary within which talks are to take place, the ideological differences even within India's mainland parties were on clear display. A handful of MPs then broke away from the group to meet with the Hurriyat conference, whose leaders were all under detention. In a drama that is unique to Kashmir, local police facilitated their brief meetings. Like that of the MIM leader Asad Owaisi, who arrived to meet the Mirwais at this picturesque sub-jail cottage, but was politely asked to leave in a few minutes. The most controversial attempt to engage separatists was at the house of pro-Pakistan hardliner Syed Ali Shah Gilani. The writing on the wall here said it all, and the door was virtually shut in the face of the parliamentarians who came knocking as slogans against India were raised.
I'm a Kashmiri, not because of Article 370, not because of a special constitutional position. I'm a Kashmiri by virtue of a value system, by a certain culture, which imparts me a certain identity. And today that has been hurt.
These words were literally echoed by the Home Minister the morning after.
कम से कम इतना तो कहा जा सकता है कि सचमुच यह कश्मीरियत तो नहीं है और इसे इंसानियत भी नहीं मारा जा सकता इंसानियत भी नहीं
And so, in some ways, despite the all-party meeting, it was back to square one. A two-month-long impasse yet to be broken after the elimination of local militant Burhan Wani. For the police and the paramilitary, this continued deadlock is terrible news, as it is for the civilian population locked inside their homes all these months. It is Kashmiri policemen in particular who have been made alarmingly vulnerable in this period of strife. Every evening between 6 and 7 p.m., as the sun is about to set, men of the Jammu and Kashmir police wade into the smoke and stones of downtown Srinagar
to pull out the paramilitary forces on duty into safety as their deployment is withdrawn. There is one critical difference between the CRPF as it marches out of the day's pitched battles and the policemen who arrive to secure them. Many police officers have their faces wrapped in makeshift masks, unwilling for their identities to be revealed, either for the cameras like ours or for their own people. Treated with suspicion, animosity and even hatred by sections of their own people, across the Kashmir Valley today, there is fear and insecurity in the police ranks. At the Army Base Hospital in Srinagar, we get a first-hand sense of just how vulnerable the Kashmiri policeman is today. At first, no one wants to talk on camera. It's not themselves they worry about, but their families, their parents, young children, wives and sisters. They agree to tell their story to us only if we can protect their identities. A stone hurled at this 26-year-old policeman fractured his nose while he was helping the Rashtriya Rifles clear a road that had been blocked by protesters. Unlike the CRPF and the army, which are seen to be outside institutions, the Kashmiri policeman is recruited from the same people who are up in arms against him today. It is this that makes him the softest target.
आप मुझे एक बात बताइए, अभी मुझे ऐसे लग रहा है कि जो कश्मीर में जो पुलिस अफसर है, जैसे आप हैं, जो लोकल लोग हैं जिन्होंने पुलिस ज्वाइन की, वो थोड़ा सा महसूस कर रहे हैं प्रेशर एक अलग किस्म का।
हाँ, कि काफी लोग उसे डरते हैं इस वक्त, क्योंकि घर जाने लगा भी खतरा है, कि घर आने का भी जाने का भी प्रॉब्लम है इस वक्त। नाम नहीं बता सकते किसी को कि हम जेएनके पुलिस में।
जैसे हम अभी आपसे बात कर रहे हैं, हमने आपका शक्ल छिपाया हुआ है, हम आपका नाम नहीं बता रहे, इसलिए क्योंकि आप ये हमें कह रहे हैं कि आपको लगता है कि आपकी अपनी जान को और आपके परिवार की जान को खतरा है। क्या लगता है कि लोग क्या कर लेंगे? आपने कहा घर भी जला सकते हैं।
हाँ, वो सही बात है।
ऐसा हुआ है किसी के साथ?
यार, काफी पुलिस वाले 2-3 भी मर गए और ये गाड़ी से नीचे फेंके उनको, 2-3 का घर भी जलाया है।
लोग क्या कहते हैं? जैसे आप पे भी दबाव पड़ता होगा, लोग आपके अपने लोग आपको क्या कहते हैं?
वो आजादी की बात करते हैं, हमें लॉ एंड ऑर्डर के लिए इस वक्त फेस कर रहे हैं।
तो वो आजादी की बात करते हैं और आप लॉ एंड ऑर्डर।
कश्मीरी पुलिस ऑफिसर्स हैव बीन टारगेटेड डायरेक्टली बाय द हिजबुल मुजाहिदीन एज वेल एज बाय सम की सेपरेटिस्ट। प्रो पाकिस्तान हुर्रियत रिप्रेजेंटेटिव सैयद अली शाह गिलानी रिसेंटली नेम्ड एन इंडिविजुअल पुलिसमैन ऑफ साउथ कश्मीर एज बीइंग रिस्पॉन्सिबल फॉर पेलेट इंजरीज। The terrified family of the officer rushed to Gilani to ask for forgiveness, but had no luck. Most recently, the so-called successor of Burhan Wani, Hizbul Mujahideen militant Zakir Bhatt, openly warned Kashmiris against joining the police, threatening them with death if they did so. Back at the hospital, we meet a 34-year-old police officer battling a hemorrhage in his eye. The internal bleed was caused by a stone, and at the moment he cannot see anything through one eye.
आपने अपनी फैमिली को क्यों नहीं बताया है कि आप हॉस्पिटल में हैं?
परेशान हो जाएंगे, इधर से हालात भी खराब है, वो कहाँ आएंगे इधर?
एक उनके लिए डर लग
रहा है। डर तो है, आजकल ये पुलिस वालों को शक की नजर से देखते हैं, क्योंकि हालात जो खराब है पुलिस को ही फेस करना पड़ता है हर जगह। इसीलिए अगर हम कहीं पर हम कोपाड़ा से घर भी जाते हैं तो हमें सिविल कार्ड रखना पड़ता है साथ।
सिविल कार्ड
हम पुलिस के कार्ड नहीं रखते हैं।
आप ये कह रहे हैं कि अगर आप घर अपने घर जा रहे हो और क्राउड वहाँ पे आ गए या प्रोटेस्टर्स वहाँ आ गए, तो जब वो आइडेंटिटी कार्ड मांगते हैं तो आप अपना पुलिस आइडेंटिटी कार्ड नहीं, अपना सिविलियन कार्ड,
क्योंकि वो पुलिस से आज बहुत नफरत करते हैं। अगर उनको पुलिस का कार्ड मिल जाएगा, फोटो या कुछ और पुलिस का आइडेंटिटी कुछ मिल जाएगा, तो वो नहीं छोड़ेंगे।
तो एक तरह से जो जम्मू कश्मीर की पुलिस है उसको निशाना बनाया गया।
हां, निशाना, पूरा निशाना।
Under pressure to contain the rising civilian casualties, these officers tell us they are now just numbed by the abuse and the hatred of their own people. But the increasingly violent nature of the protesters is something new.
वो जो मां बात है उधर, वो आजकल वो दूर नहीं, 100 गज की दूरी पर नहीं आते, वो तकरीबन 20 फुट पर आते हैं। वो गालियां भी देते हैं, हम सहते हैं, वो माँ बाप की गाली देते हैं, बहन की गाली देते हैं, हम बर्दाश्त करते हैं, वो पत्थर भेजते हैं, हम उनको समझाते हैं। 2008 से हम पुलिस को ये सहना पड़ता है, 2008 से, अभी तो हो गए 8 साल हो गए, 8-9 साल हो गए।
तो अब आदत सी पड़ गई,
अब आदत सी पड़ गई लोगों के पत्थर खाने, लोगों की गाली खा, ये गाली गलौज खाने, ये तो चलता रहता है।
One police officer whispers to me, my life is like a dodhari talwar, a double-edged sword. I am cut and bruised from both sides of the enemy lines. Am I not a Kashmiri, just like the young men on the street? Kashmiri is associated with the state in any way. Police officers, bureaucrats and politicians are all targets of derision today. Much of the rage of the protesters has been directed at them, with police stations and posts, district administration officers and even a local MP's house set on fire. But perhaps no single issue has weakened the narrative of the state as much as the use of pellet guns. As in the case of Insha, it has claimed victims even among those not part of the agitation. Like 21-year-old Riaz Ahmed Shah, who worked by day at a grocery store and at night as a security guard at a city ATM. He told his brother he was heading home from work but never made it back. His body was then found next to his overturned bloodstained scooter, pumped with more than 300 pellets. He'd been shot at close range. The police have registered an FIR in the case against unknown security personnel. But what was once a normal happy home has now turned into a site of protest, led by the women, old and young.
ये उन लोगों में से नहीं था, ना ना इसके और स्कूटी, जब एक इंसान स्कूटी चला रहा होगा उसके दोनों हाथ हैंडल पे होते हैं, ना कि उसके हाथ में उस वक्त पत्थर होगा। जब रियाज अहमद शाह को इस डाउनटाउन में पहला लड़का गया जिसको मारा गया, तभी यहाँ के दूसरे लड़कों जवानों में खून उगल उठा कि इस बेगुनाह को क्यों मारा गया, जबकि ये एक ड्यूटी पे जा आ रहा था वापस। ये कोई ऐसे काम पे नहीं गया था, ये किसी जुलूस में नहीं था, फोर्सेस ने इसे मारा तो क्यों मारा।
द प्रॉब्लम इज विद द वेरी नेचर ऑफ द पेलेट गन इटसेल्फ एंड द डिस्टेंस फ्रॉम व्हिच इट इज फायर्ड। अ पंप एक्शन गन, इट स्प्लैटर्स हंड्रेड्स ऑफ मेटल बिट्स इनटू द एयर ऑल एट वंस लाइक द फुल थ्रोटेड गश ऑफ अ फाउंटेन, इनेबलिंग अ सिंगल शॉट टू कॉज मल्टीपल इंजरीज। Security forces, however, continue to back the use of the gun, insisting that with protesters more violent than ever before, it is still the best of bad options available. Most protesters are not Insha or Riaz, they say, but violent men who attack security installations, sometimes even snatching away weapons.
What the J&K police is using are the less lethal weapon. That means they can incapacitate a person, but if fired from a close range, it can become lethal also. Number 9 pellet, which is there, if that is fired, he is using lesser force than what the crowd is using. They are even using a grenade. So they have to fire this, and I think there is nothing wrong in it.
Tear gas shells, say the forces, no longer scare the young men out on the street, armed with stones and sometimes with petrol bombs. We meet the paramilitary forces on duty in downtown Srinagar, the scene of many pitched clashes, to understand why these men still want to use pellet guns. At 6 p.m., curfew is in place. The roads are empty and a handful of CRPF men are patrolling the area. The scrawl and the graffiti on the walls in support of Hizbul Mujahideen militant Burhan Wani underlines the tension in the air and the hostility of the locals.
श्री कृष्ण यादव जी, हमने देखा है कि इस बारी पैलेट गन के इस्तेमाल हुआ है, बहुत से लोगों की जो आईसाइट है वो चली गई है, और लोग कहते हैं कि भाई क्यों इस तरह की बंदूकों का इस्तेमाल किया जा रहा है।
ये मैडम, जब मजमा बहुत ज्यादा होता है और हमें ना उम्मीद होती है बचने की, तब हम इस पे फायर करते हैं। जब मजमा बहुत ज्यादा होता है, हजारों
जब में बहुत लोग होते
बहुत आदमी हो जाते हैं और चारों तरफ से हम घिर जाते हैं, जब हम उसका यूज करते हैं और क्राउड में पत्थर लगते हैं, सिर भी फूटता है, बहुत इंजर्ड होते हैं हमारे भी। पर हमारे वाले जो यहाँ से बताए नहीं जाते, सिर्फ यही बताया जाता है, इनके बारे में ज्यादा बताया जाता है, हमारे बारे में नहीं बताया जाता इतना। हमारे बारे में तो बोलते हैं फौज ऐसा है फौज ऐसा है, हमारी मरने की नौबत आ जाती है जब भी हम फायर चलाते हैं, इतने हम फायर नहीं चलाते और उससे वो डरते हैं और चीज से वो नहीं डरते,
पर टेयर गैस से नहीं, टेयर गैस अगर आप पैलेट के बजाय टेयर गैस यूज़
वो हमारे पास उल्टा वापस डाल देते हैं।
क्या डालते हैं?
टेयर गैस।
सबसे मुश्किल बात क्या लगती है? कभी आपने कोशिश की कुछ बात करके देखें?
बात तो
कभी कभी मतलब आप लोग बैठे हैं अभी, अब जैसे लोग भी घरों में हैं, अब यहाँ पे अगर कर्फ्यू नहीं होता तो लोग भी बाहर होते, कभी कोशिश की किसी से बातचीत करें थोड़ी कुछ? कभी की किसी से बातचीत यहाँ पे किसी 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 से भी घर में कोई हो कोई सड़क पे दिख जाए?
नहीं तो हम बाहर नहीं जा सकते यहाँ पर,
जब कर्फ्यू नहीं होता तो आप यहाँ आप नहीं आते बाहर?
आते हैं ड्यूटी में साथ आते हैं सभी एक साथ, एक दो आदमी यहाँ से नहीं निकल सकता, उसे कैजुअल्टी होने डर है या इंजर्ड कर देते हैं बहुत बुरी तरह, जैसे हम तर मजमे में फंस भी जाते हैं उसे बहुत बुरी तरह मारते हैं, बहुत बुरी तरह से मारते हैं उसे, इंजर्ड या उसकी कैजुअल्टी हो जाती है।
But the real clashes begin almost ritualistically every evening as the paramilitary begins to withdraw its deployment. It's then that young men come out in larger numbers, often erupting into clashes with security forces like this one.
Every evening, this part of Srinagar, downtown Srinagar, sees pitched battles between security forces and young men who come out on the streets armed with stones. There's almost a certain ritual to what happens here every evening. As the forces withdraw their deployment, which is happening right behind me in the lane right here, the protesters feel emboldened to come closer and closer. Against the backdrop of these stone-pelting protests, the debate around the use of pellet guns rages on. While several opposition parties and civil rights activists have asked for a ban on the use of these guns, if you talk to the men deployed here, they will continue to argue that they have no other alternative. In fact, they say that even tear gas shells do not deter the protesters from coming out on the streets anymore.
The Home Minister has already announced chili-filled pava shells to replace pellet guns as the political pressure builds up.
Against protesting youth who only got stones, nothing else. You don't do hard policing, you do wise policing, you do tactical policing.
Yadi majboori mein yadi weapon ka prayog karna hai to non lethal weapons ka hi prayog kiya jana chahiye, goli ka prayog nahi kiya jana chahiye.
Those pellets are hurting, sir. They are not only hurting the children, but they are also hurting the consciousness of Kashmir.
Protests are not in this part of the world only. The protests are there in other parts of the world also, including rest of India also. But they're not shooting them to kill. They're not using pellets on them. The other ways they're using there, they should do it there, here also. If they can control the crowd with those non-lethal weapons, why do they use lethal weapons? The lethality of weapon is beyond doubt. It has been scientifically proved. There are case reports, there are case studies. Why do they use these lethal weapons on Kashmiris only? That's my point.
The grimness of the valley is made worse by the fact that militants are able to exploit it, with security forces distracted by containing protests. In fact, many believe that in pockets of South Kashmir, it is now militants who are directing the protesters, leaving even the separatists out of control. And yet, in an age of short attention spans, the headlines are already fading. The rest of the country perhaps losing interest in a valley where a lid has been thrown over a simmering cauldron that may boil over any moment, only to be remembered in the next crisis as one more generation of children grows up in the shadow of the gun.